We starting a new series for this summer, and is facing our foes. As believers, we face obstacles that are not only obstacles, but temptations that come with so many things that attack us. Some may be big, some may be small, but how do we go around all about it? It doesn't matter who you are. We all experience it. And those are situations that are growing personally, and they are personal enemies to us and often try to defeat us. And this summer, we want to share some of these things with us. How can we overcome these things? And before we do that, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this hour. We pray even as we come to speak your word. Not us, but you speak your word, O God. And let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose which has been sent. I hide behind you, Lord, and you just take charge in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we look at a couple of things that we're going to look at this summer, one of them is worry. Many of worry, right? Sometimes we worry and we fear. We have that fear in us based on certain situation. And we experience anxiety. We experience depression and pride, adultery. And the one we're going to talk about today is anger. Only a few people understand that. So the few people that understand that, they experience anger. The rest of people don't experience anger. So as we talk about these things, we find ourselves facing these challenges. And they are big mountains. They are may be small to the next person, but it may be big to the next person. And we all face that. But what does the word of God say? So as we go forward, the temptation, anger. Anger is something very important, especially to us as believers, right? And how do we overcome that? So for our blood, we say everyone feels angry from time to time. This is something we also struggle from time to time. Some of us, our anger may be little, some may be bigger. But what does God's word say? You know, I was reading and someone said, some of our anger is like microwave. We got microwave anger, it's go beep, 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 bam. Then it start rolling. You know, when you put in whatever you put in the microwave, you try to put the number there. Beep, beep, beep. Once you press the start button, it start rolling, right? Some of our anger is just like that. When it start rolling, it's hard to calm down. But let's look at our eternal truth. We must be controlled by what? The Spirit, not by our anger. If your anger controls you, you lose. Because you give in to your anger. Amen? So we're going to look at a couple of things. First, we want to look at the root of anger. We'll look at a biblical view of anger. We want to look at a definition of anger. We're going to look at God and anger. And then we're going to look at man and anger. Don't you think God gets mad? Right? He gets mad. But is it for the wrong reason or for the right reason? And man, we get mad. Sometimes, most often our anger is for the wrong reason. So we somebody says sometimes. But we want to look at that and see where we are as God's children. Now, I'm not speaking to unbelievers. I'm speaking to believers. Because if we as believers can control our anger, then we have victory over anger. But if anger controls us, then we are heading on a bad ground, right? So first of all, let's look at the definition. And we know we're having our family devotion and I was asking the kids to define anger. Well, everybody from Noraya, everybody was giving their own definition of anger. And one of them, Kima said, anger is emotion, how you feel, and just let it out. So I said, okay. I said, what do you mean? She said, because it's that emotion when you can't control it anymore, you get it out. And you know, getting it out is not bad, but how do you get it out? You know, I thought they were going to use their mom as an example, so I was just waiting to hear what they were going to say. How she screamed at them, amen. So, for our definition, we want to stick to this definition. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure or hostility caused by a real perceived offense, injury, or unmet desire to oneself or others. Usually accompanied by a desire to retaliate or seek revenge. I'm giving anger definition as how we see anger, right? How we portray anger as human, as men, how we portray anger, and that's how most often we display anger. Either we want to get revenge. It's too much. Like Leslie, her definition, she says, like, you keep it, and when you can't keep it anymore, you just say what you want to say, what's on your mind, what's on your heart. And I say, okay, I love all of your definition. It's cool. You're helping. So I'll try to go for it. She said, Daddy, don't preach it because I want to be a surprise to hear everything. But that's how our anger get hold of us. So we want to look at a couple of words in the New Testament that talks about anger. And there are three words in the New Testament. The first word is thumos. It's that anger that is explosive. You know, going back, the picture I had there is a picture. Let me go back. The picture I had there is a picture of a volcano, right? When volcano erupts, what happens around wherever it goes? It destroys, right? It destroys everything that it comes in contact with. And church, that's how anger is. If we cannot control our anger, guess what? It affects everyone around us. It affects our children. It affects our spouses. It affects even our neighbor. Sometimes even you get out in the morning, your neighbor trying to speak to you, you just... Or maybe they're having a backyard party, but because you're angry, I'm calling the cops on you, you're disturbing too much. Because you're boiling with anger, so it affects everyone around you. And instead of you being that good Christian, now you're exploring. Amen? So, we said Timothy is explosive anger, that boiling agitation of the feelings and passion of anger. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, Paul talks about that. So sometimes when you see wrath, it refers to as anger. When the wrath is anger. Where we say the wrath of God, the anger of God came upon. So that word kind of also represents anger. And another word in Ephesians also, 4:31, it talks about, it's an orgy. Where Paul talks about that is an abiding, that settled attitude of indignation that frequently seeks revenge. That anger in you, it happened today, you're not going to say anything. It happened next day, you're not going to say it. You're keeping it. And when it comes to that point, then you're ready to revenge. Just a little thing. Someone says, boom! You're ready to. Even if it doesn't worry you saying things or getting angry, boom, you explode. And the next word there is parakimos. That anger mingled with irritability or bitter men. Some people, when they're angry, they're so bitter. They're so bitter with anger that they want to strangle, they want to do things that they don't care about the consequences. They don't care what's going to happen next. But they just want to do. Because guess what? Anger is controlling you at that very particular moment. Amen? Amen? So let's look, before we go forward, let's look at the roots of anger. And I kind of spell it, you see, A for anxiety, N for nuisance, G for grief, E for embarrassment, and R for resentment. And we experience anxiety, fear. Sometimes certain things happening, and because you're afraid, you want to act right away based on that situation. And sometimes you get frustrated. And we're going to talk about that later on with one of the characters in the Bible. You get frustrated. Instead of doing the right thing, you do the wrong thing. But even like Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, even if you face anxiety, fear, one thing you should counter that with is the word of God. Because he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear take hold of you because of certain situation. And even you may say, oh, I'm a human, but yeah, God promised he will never leave you. What? Nor forsake you. And in this world, frustration, sometimes you get frustrated. But guess what? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, he said, for all things what? Works together for what? For good. For to them that love the Lord and are called according to the purpose. Even in your frustration, remember that all your frustration works together because God is using your situation to do what he wants to do at a particular moment. Sometimes you feel grief, pain. You feel embarrassed. You feel humiliated. Or you have that resentful attitude and bitterness in you. But those are the roots of anger. If we don't control them, they control us. When you fall in anxiety, you can't sleep. You wake up in the middle of the night. You're frustrated, you can't sleep. Your mind is all over. But let God take control of whatever the situation is. Amen? Amen? So let's look at the biblical view of anger. Let's look at God. God and anger. In Psalm 7, verse 11, says that God is a just God, right? And God is angry with the wicked every day. Why is God angry? With the wicked, right? Now, it's not an anger that is negative, that will hurt you, that God will retaliate on you. No, but God is angry because you're not living according to his will. You're not doing according to his word. You're not living that Christian life. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, I said, for the wrath, I said earlier that wherever you see wrath, just kind of change it to anger. He said, for the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's God's anger. That's why when God is angry, he's angry for the right reason. He's angry because this isn't done. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath or the anger of God abides on them. So, you see, God's anger is legit. It's reasonable. It's reasonable because X, Y, Z isn't done. And if X, Y, Z isn't done, he holds you responsible. Amen? And here's the thing. Before I go further there, right? People do crazy stuff when they get angry. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Some of you don't want to. Imagine that, you know, I was listening to Steve Harvey, and I think Steve Harvey was a comedian, and he said, I think in a store, if I got it right, in a store. This child was acting up, putting the stuff down from, and the mom went and told him, stop. And the child threw himself down, whining, screaming. And this parent, this mother was walking along with her child in the store. And seeing what the other child was doing, she turned to her son and smacked him. And he said, why did you do that? He said, you see what he's doing? I dare you try that. So imagine, she's not, I don't know if she was angry at that time, but imagine if she was angry, what would happen with her son? So she tried to warn him in advance. Don't, you know, when Tyler get angry, they throw themselves and rolling all over the place and what have you. I was listening to a preacher man, and he said he was at the airport, and this child would not listen to his mom. And she tried, he said, whoo, where he was sitting in his seat. It's like a boom. He was just like, oh, my, I wish that was my son. I wish that was my child. But that child was angry, rolling all over. And imagine a child, you know, teenager get angry. Our former pastor, when he could knew, he gave his story about, I think, his son. You know, the walls in U.S., the house's home, is dry walls, right? So his son, when he gets mad, he hit the wall, and he goes through it. But this time around, he went to Liberia. And in Liberia, the houses is bricks. It's not drywall. And not knowing, this child got angry. I think his sister irritated him, and he got angry. He went and hit the wall, but he met her with force. And I think from then on, he started hitting the wall. But you see, when people get angry, they do stupid things. Sometimes you get angry with your spouse, instead of having a talk with them, you beat on them. Or you get angry with the kids, instead of having that discussion, you hitting them. Even though the Bible says, don't spare the rod and spoil the child, right? But sometimes, don't take it to the extent. You know, I can't tell when last I beat my kids. I can't tell when last. Because I grew up with my dad. My belt was the talking. And I said, I don't care why. I experienced it. I know why, man. How it feels. So I talk and pray. I talk and pray. You know, funny thing, Pastor Gary and I were talking last week before he left. And we were discussing my message. And he said, do you really get angry? How do you? And I laughed. I said, I don't know. I haven't seen myself being angry. So I don't know if I'm really going to get angry. And my wife can tell you the story. She'll tell you the story. Certain thing happened, and she thought I was going to get angry. But she was afraid. But thank God for me, right? You got a good husband, babe. But imagine a mom at home when the kids giving you a hard time, and sometimes it's the pot, the cold spoon, or this thing coming. Yes. How do you, when we get angry, we do a whole lot of crazy stuff. But is the anger the problem or you the problem? Because if you cannot control your anger, then your anger starts to control you. Amen? So we see in the passage that all that we read, God in his anger is not angry with man to hurt mankind. He's angry because man is not this way. And his anger is to make mankind get on the right path. Amen? Amen. Do you know the Bible speaks? I'll try to Google to see how many times anger is in the Bible. And I Google it, came to say, I don't know if Google it right, but 95% of the time is right. But it said it's 262 verses in the Bible where it talks about anger. So if the Bible can speak about anger that amount of time, then it tells us that anger is a problem that we need to take control of and not it take control of us. Amen? And that's one of the forces that we faced. That's one of the problems we faced, even as believers. Imagine you have been driving down the street or on the highway or 295, and someone, maybe you zoom in front of someone, and then and boom, boom, and then they try to give you the finger, and they come closer to you and cursing you up. How do you control that anger? And sometimes people try to talk to you like you in your own world and not listening to anybody. And you loosen it. But that's not who we are. That's not what God wanted for us as believers, as Christians. We ought to control anger. So as we look at anger and God, you see, God anger frequently expresses redemption. Right? In God's anger, his anger for us, for our sin, fell on Jesus Christ. His anger for our sin fell on Jesus Christ to redeem us, to give us hope. His anger works to disarm the power of sin upon our lives. If you look at the Philippians chapter 1, we're not going to go there for time's sake. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And also, in God's love, his anger, he eventually turns man's sinful anger into good. And we're going to look at that. One passage in the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 20, right? Joseph, brother, saw him. They were angry at him because their father loved Joseph among all his children. So that anger grew in them that they decided to kill their brother. And guess what? Instead of killing him, God turned it around and that they were able to sell Joseph. Now, that's where we see how God worked even in our anger to redeem us, to save us. Because had Joseph been killed, what would happen in a time of famine? Now, Joseph was sold to Egypt. And while in Egypt, when there was famine, his family came and he was their savior. He was able to provide for them. You see how God turned it around even when they had planned evil? So as we look at God in anger, in Mark chapter 25, it says, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And this passage was based on Jesus and the religious leaders in Mark, beginning from verse 1. They said it was a Sabbath. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. And this man who had this situation needed healing. And they said, no, you can't heal. And it angers Jesus. Will you rather this man die? And you say you're keeping the Sabbath holy? Which one is better? And it angers Jesus that he decided to heal this man and not listen to the religious leader. You see? So God, Jesus, even though he was angry at them, but he did the right thing. Right? You know, I had a brother I was talking with. There was conflict back home, and here I was talking, and the way he responded, and I was trying to talk to him, he said, oh, you pastor, you always do. I said, no. We were talking about a situation, and you were angry, and he responded. The way he responded, things didn't go well, so I said, you have done such. And he came up quick. He said, even Jesus were angry, Jesus lose his temper. I said, hold on, that's great. Who you bringing up? So I said, get a Bible, find John chapter 2, and let's read what happened. And he read it. I said, so tell me, why was Jesus angry? And he couldn't answer. I said, look there, it's there. And we got it there. I just put it up there. The reason Jesus said, do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. The temple was built for worship. The temple was built for people to come and serve God. But instead, the temple was being used as a business place. They came and exchanged and sold their things in the temple. The temple was no longer that holy place that they should go and serve and honor God. And because of that, it angers Jesus. Jesus was angry for the right reason. And so what he did, the Bible says he took a rope and he threw everything. Now, I may be right, I may be wrong, but the scripture then said Jesus beat them. The scripture then said Jesus grabbed the other person and whipped him. He said, you get out of here. No, but Jesus, they said, he took that belonging to you and threw it out. He threw everything out. He threw the tables, turned everything upside down. He said, why will you make my father house a house of merchandise? So you see, Jesus, even he was angry, but he was angry for the right reason, and he did the right thing. You think Jesus couldn't have caused all the people in there to be blind or God do something to them? No. So sometimes when we're angry, we ought to do the right thing. And we want to look at some of the biblical view. Men in anger, some of the people in the Bible who were angry and did the wrong thing. We want to look at, go back, King and Abel, the first person. We know the story in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. God honors Abel's offering, right? Because Abel brought the best to God. He offered the best sacrifice to God. And what did King do? King took the spoils, the remains, and he offered it to God. And God did not accept it. And guess what happened? King became angry. And in his anger, he committed the first murder. He killed his brother. You see how anger does, what it does to us when we are not controlled by the Spirit? If we're not controlling our anger, when our anger controls us, we do the worst thing. King killed his brother. Even Moses. Moses, you know, God is a just God. Sometimes we don't understand. As I prepare, I said, if you go back in Genesis, Moses killed an Israelite, an Egyptian. But God wasn't mad with him. I don't know. And he fled. But God used him to go back to Egypt to bring his children out of Egypt. Right? And imagine Moses throughout the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness with the Egyptians, with the Israelites. And because of one act of anger, Moses could not enter the promised land. And you know what he did? We're not going to read that, but go to the book of Numbers chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 32, 51 to 52. The Bible says there were thirst for water and there was no water. So Moses, God, the children of Israel was complaining to Moses, they need water, water. And God instructed Moses to go to the rock. And Moses went to the rock. I don't know what's that. But I know it's not an angel. But he went to the rock. In fact, before going to the rock, he looked at God's children and called them rebels. He said, you rebels. Because they have gotten on his king to the extent that he could no longer, like my daughter said, when that emotion just explode, and Moses kind of exploded on them and called them rebels and did the wrong thing. And he smacked the rat. And I'm like, what? God. As I was reading, I tried to come to him, I said, what? This man killed. And God considered him to bring his people. Just by doing this thing, and God said, all the 40 years you spend in the wilderness, you're not going to enter the promised land? Be careful, church. Because sometimes some things we take for granted, God is not going to. God is not going to take it for granted. And because of that, God said, Moses, you're not going to enter the promised land. You're going to see the land, but you're not going to enter. You see how anger. All the years, 40 years in the wilderness of the children of Israel. And because of that, Moses could not enter into the promised land because he allowed anger to get hold of him and he did the wrong thing. Amen? Jonah and anger. We know the story of Jonah, right? Jonah, the Bible says, he refused to go to Nineveh. When God told him to go to Nineveh and preach and speak the good news, Jonah was angry at God because he didn't want to go to these people to speak, carry the message. And he got in the ship, and long story short, he got swallowed by a whale, and after 3 days, he came out, and he finally had to obey God. Why would you have to take all of that when you cannot just do the simple thing God asked you to do? But because anger built in him, and he refused. And even Job, let's go back. Was King angry for the right reason? Hello? No, he wasn't angry for the right reason. He was angry because his brother offering was being accepted. Was Moses angry for the right reason? Some you can say yes, you can say no. But if God gave you instructions, follow it. Don't get angry, right? Now, Jonah, was he angry for the right reason? No. God gave instructions, follow it. And even Job got angry with God. And he talked to God face to face based on his situation. Now, was Job angry for the right reason or wrong reason? He was angry for the right reason. But notice in Job's anger, he did not disobey God. He did not make his anger to take control of him. Instead, he used his anger to hear from God. And God was able to respond to him in a better way, even though God tells him, say, you're not going to come here and judge me and tell me this and what have you. I have control of every situation. You don't. So even if you're angry, your anger is not going to change me. Your anger is not going to move me. Your anger is going to hurt you. Amen? And Paul talks about anger. How can for us as believers to overcome anger, one of the ways he said, walk in the Spirit. He talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And the believers in Galatia, the church of Galatia, so many things going on. And in his anger, he did not tell them, oh, you're wrong. He said, no. As believers, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Have the fruit of the Spirit in you. And he said, live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And sow in the Spirit. Because when these things happen, guess what? You overcome anger. It doesn't control you. It doesn't lead you to do what you are not supposed to do. Amen? So let's look at the next point. The reality of anger. Anger is a natural thing. You agree with me? Well, if you don't, fine. But anger can be learned, right? Anger is a moral matter that needs to be taken care of. So let's jump into it right away. Anger is natural. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, verse 26 says, and he said, what comes out of man, what? Defies a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, idolatry, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. For the fact that we were born sinners from our first parent, Adam and Eve, so it's natural because of our sinful nature, we're going to experience anger. It's natural because of our sinful nature, we're going to be tempted to be angry. And not going to be tempted, but we're going to get angry because of our sinful nature. But here's the thing. Not only because of our sinful nature, we should allow that temptation to take hold of us. Because anger just doesn't start at a very moment. It starts from within. And whatever comes out, is that you? And some people say, oh, that's not me. I don't know what happened. That's not me. No, it's you. Because it comes from within. It ain't come from without. It comes from in your heart. And because it comes from in your heart, it's not the next person standing next to you. It's you. You have to control what comes from within. If you can't control what comes from within, don't blame the next person. Don't blame your children. Don't blame your spouse. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your co-worker. Blame yourself. Because anger comes from our hearts. It doesn't come from outside. Anger is learned, right? If you have a dad at home, you know, those of us that work in a human service field, if you listen to some cases and some children, they'll tell you, oh, my dad used to beat my mom, so that anger, he beats his mom, so that child grew up copying that very thing. And seeing, and he goes to school hitting his friend, or they go out, because they see why it's happening at home. They learn it. They learn it, see it. And when they learn it, it becomes part of them. And as we talk, how we talk to our children, you know, our spouses, how we talk, our kids learn it, see it, and know that if I come from where every day I'm angry at my wife and she says anything, it's like I'm exploring on her. Guess what? My children see that. They're going to grow with that in their mind. It affects them. It affects your relationship. It affects your family. That's how powerful anger is. Proverbs 22 says, make no friends with any angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Leave you a while. Learn his ways. You're going to follow his way. You're going to see exactly if you're affiliating with that person who is angry, who doesn't care. Guess what? You're going to follow that way. You're going to learn that way. And it says, and set a snare from your soul. In Proverbs 19:19, it says, a man of great wrath, in a sense, a man of great anger, will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Not me saying it, it's a scripture, right? So you see how powerful anger is? Amen? Anger is a moral matter. A moral matter. And if you don't deal with it, guess what? It takes charge. It takes hold of you. And how is it moral? Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, he said, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have the senses, exercise to discern both good and evil. So, in essence, guess what? Anger will judge things. Anger will judge things. And what? It weighs on something and finds something wrong. Where you can control that situation that is displeasing, guess what? Then it moves into action. It moves into action and you start displaying the opposite of what you ought to do. It's a moral thing, and as human, we are again going to experience anger. But how do you go about with it in your life? That's the key. And that's the important thing about when we talk about anger. So, a couple of things occur. It happens when anger controls you. One, you're going to say or do foolish things you will regret later. When anger controls you, you're not thinking, you're going to do things that you'll regret later. Not only that, you will do things that will cause problems for others. And you will do things that have a hefty penalty. I took the quote and it says that anger defines you as it demonstrates who is really in control of you. Is anger in control of you? It's going to define you, because if you're not in control, it's going to show exactly who you are. And it's one of the powerful forces that we're going to face, we're going to experience as believers. But how do we go about it? So we want to come to the remedy of anger. How can you fix that? Couple of things. One, commit to control anger. Anger doesn't control you. You control yourself. You can control your emotion. You know, it always says that you cannot control the next person, their thoughts, or how they feel about you, or what they said about you, or whatever it is. But you can control what you can do or how you react. Now, if you commit to controlling your anger, you got it going. And another thing, consider there's consequences when it comes to not controlling your anger. As a result of your anger, there's some consequences. Also, learn to correctly communicate your anger. And not only that, but choosing God is the key. In your anger, choosing God is the key. So let's take a look at that quickly. Commit to control anger. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but the wise man does what? Holds them back. Now, what the proverb is saying? If you, the fan is on, the AC is on, and the vent is in there, right? So where does the air come from? Through the vent, right? So if we close the vent, will the air come out? No, right? This place is going to be hot. But if you open the vents, the air comes out. It's the same with us. What he's saying is that a fool will explode with his anger, his feelings, can't control his feelings, can't control what is happening. But the wise man will what? Hold them back. Will hold them back so that the worst will not happen. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, sometimes people say, oh, maybe you're stupid or this. No. Because you are doing the right thing. Because there's consequences to everything that you do. Whether it's good or bad, there's some consequences that you're going to face. Amen? And guess what? God, you know, God may judge us based on our anger that we are not able to do exactly what he urged or considered us to do. In Proverbs 16:32, it says, he who is slow to what anger is better than the mighty, and who rules his spirit than he who takes a sitting. So if you slow the anger, guess what? You are that warrior that, that is victorious, that you control everything, then the one who's that superhero will go down. Control and slow to anger and listening to God's word. Listening before you speak. And we're going to talk about that later. James chapter 1 verse 19 to 20 says, so then my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or anger. Be slow in all those things. Slow to speak, slow to wrath or anger. He said, for the wrath or the anger of man does not produce the what? Righteousness of God. Your anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It's the opposite around. Consider the consequences of your anger. One, anger brings disagreement and disunity. Anger brings disagreement and disunity. And sometimes you can disagree with the person's opinion, the person's thoughts, but don't try to throw them or trash them because you think yours is better than them. No. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife. And a furious man abounds in what? Transgression. So, if you control
If you cannot control your anger, you stir up problem. You stir up problem in your home. You stir up problem in the church. You stir up problem at work. You stir up problem within your community because you're not controlling your anger. Look at what Proverbs 25:26 says. Anger makes you vulnerable. In a sense that it says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. In a sense that if you cannot control yourself, your anger, guess what? The devil is going to use you. You are vulnerable. He's going to use you in every situation that he knows he can get hold of. He can get hold of you. Those things he knows that he will trigger, that you will get angry, he will use that. And that's why when you're angry, it makes you vulnerable. But if you're angry for the right purpose, it doesn't make you vulnerable because at the end, there's going to be a good result. But how many times we are angry for the right purpose? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Consider another thing in our anger, consider the consequences. Guess what? Anger invites trouble. Anger invites trouble. Say, for as the churning of milk produces butter, and wiring in the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Now, if you're not in line with yourself, with your heart, with God, and you allow anger to take control of you, guess what? You're inviting trouble in your life. You're inviting problems in your life. You're inviting problems in your home. You're inviting problems in your marriage. You're inviting problems with your children, with your neighbor. Because that's what anger does. And you go astray and do the wrong thing. It's like he said, ringing the nose produces blood. So if you hit somebody's nose, what do you expect to come out? Blood, right? So anger causes you to hit another person or beat on a person. And at the end of the day, you're producing injury on that person because of your anger. So whenever you lose your temper, you lose. You're not going to win. You're not going to win in any situation. When you lose your temper, you're not going to win in any situation. You're going to be at the losing end. Because that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He don't want you to succeed. He don't want you to overcome, that God gets the glory. So he makes you lose your temper. And when you lose your temper, that's it. Some of us have volcano temper. It will boil in. When the volcano gets ready to explode, whoo, it's risky. And everybody around us is afraid of us. And you don't win, you lose. Amen? Correct and communicate anger. Here's the thing. In your anger, think before you what? Speak. Measure your words carefully. Don't say it's a slip of tongue. No. Proverbs 13:33 says, he who guards his mouth preserves what? His life. But he who opens wide his lips shall what? Have destruction. So you see how important is what the Bible speaks about, how controlling our anger. And another thing said, never speak out in anger. If you cannot control your anger, and be quiet, walk away, take a stroll, go somewhere, walk away, do something that will not cause you to do the wrong thing. Proverbs 15, 18 says, a wrathful man stirs up anger, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. So when you know that this thing gonna trickle you or get you mad or do the wrong thing, it's easy to just get out. Don't stay there. Don't argue. Go. After a certain time, come back. By then you cool off. But if you stand there, then the worst gonna come out of you. And some people say, "Oh, you didn't see the worst in me yet. You don't know." In our African setting, you can say, "You don't know the hot water I can warm myself with." So that hot water they warm themselves with, that means they're going to explode. You're going to see the other side of them. But in truth, don't speak out of anger. Control it. Somebody look at me and just smile right now. Here's the thing. Anger, can anger be a sin? Of course. Anger is sinful when it is selfishly motivated. Anger is sinful when God's goal in the matter is not destroyed. You can read a passage of scripture, and for time's sake, we're not going to go into it. Anger is allowed to linger when anger becomes sinful, when you allow it to take control of you, allow it to run in your mind, allow yourself to be manipulated by it. And anger is sinful when it attacks a person instead of the problem. If you don't attack the problem, you attack the person, that's when it becomes sinful. Because there must be a reason why X, Y, Z is happening. Don't look at a person, but look at the problem. Look at what is happening. How do I approach that situation? What do I do in this situation in handling it? So, church, anger can be sinful. Amen? So what do we do? What do we do in order to get rid of it? We need to what? Act. Don't sit on it. Don't allow it to keep happening. Act upon it. One, admit your tendency to take anger personally. Make it personal. It's you. It's you who, every now and then, anger take control of you and you do the wrong thing. And maybe you come back and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to." But then you go back, you do the same old thing again. And it keep going. So at a point in time, you need to act. You need to admit that I got anger issue. I got anger issue and I need to take it to God to have this problem solved. And the next thing, hey, you need to confess it. Not to me. Not to the pastor, not to the deacon, but to God. And you need accountability for that. If you're a husband that listen to your wife. If you're a wife, listen to your husband. If you got a good friend and you know you can trust them, talk to them. But the best person you can talk to is God. And the next thing there is target the situation, not the person. Why am I keep getting angry? Why am I doing the wrong? Why is this keep happening to me? Why is anger a serious force in my life, in my home, in my community? At my job. Why? Make it personal. Target that situation in yourself. Because if you don't act, it keeps happening. It keeps happening. Our world today is crazy, right? With everything, you go to the grocery store, You leave from there, and like you didn't, you spend $200, like you look at your hand and you don't know what you buy. Your mortgage goes up, car insurance, you know, a couple of days I was looking at our car insurance, it's going up. I said, everything's going up. And all of that, sometimes you're angry, you get frustrated, and you can't meet any needs and what have you. But guess what? That is not going to change the situation. As long as you live, you're going to face it. We're going to experience it. But we thank God that he's on his throne and care about us. And he can help us navigate through this temptation of anger and make us the best person he wants us to be. So as we go through our series, remember, every one of us has anger. But how do you channel it? How do we go about it? And the best way out is to act. Don't be led or controlled by what? Your anger, but be controlled by what? The Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will help us, oh God, to navigate through the life as we go through this situation of anger and help us to realize that you have the power to save us. You have the power to redeem us. You have the power to restore us. And that we would just seek you and we would just honor you and trust you and know that you are in control. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll stand and the priest will lead us to sing the hymn, What a Friend. I Surrender Her. Amen.
Surrender all to Jesus, even in your anger. He's in control. He has the power to change, and he has the power to make you the best person, even in your anger. There's no one who's super, only God. And if we looked, as we said earlier, God is the only person who uses anger for the right purpose. And we can copy that and do according to his will. And as you leave this week, remember, you can control your anger. And don't let your anger control you. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Help us to go this week trusting you and knowing, Lord, that you are in control. Let your will be done and lead us each step of the way. Because with you, Lord, we know all things are possible. We bless you, Lord, as we go this week. May your blessing go with us and help us to keep trusting you and leaning on you and obeying your word, and that you will take control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.